Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Workers' comp reform, property tax relief, issues to grow our economy and freeze our property taxes and get a handle on long-term property tax costs, along with procurement reform and pension reform, that we've made good progress. We're not there yet, but we still got 5 days.
7:12. I want people to hear this hour specifically. If you care at all about what happens in the state of Illinois, not just about people you don't know and whether or not their services are going to be paid for, but where we are headed. Because the Speaker of the House, the inimitable Mike Madigan, who continues to refuse to appear in front of any media, certainly won't do this show, yesterday put forth a budget that was passed out of the House that $7.5 billion over the number. Constitutionally mandated, we have to have a balanced budget. Certainly Mike Madigan knows it. And he puts a budget out that's $7.5 billion over the number. In other words, he's not even trying at this point. Pat Brady is here with me, and Steve Anderson is standing by. Steve is state rep for the 65th. Steve, we don't have $7.5 billion.
It was an amazing drop of a budget that happened two nights ago. We had less than an hour from when it appeared in the House Rules Committee to when we were called to vote upon it. And you know, we had to act quickly to even figure out what was in it. Quite frankly, we didn't have enough time to even really review that. But the bottom line was clear: it was $7.2 billion out of budget. You know, the normal process that we're supposed to go through here, and honestly, I've been here for a year and a half, and we haven't yet done this. Is number one is we develop a revenue estimate. We figure out how much money do we think is going to come into the state of Illinois, and then you would think the next step would be to figure out where to prioritize and spend that money. Unfortunately, the reality here is just the opposite. We decide that we're going to spend $40 billion without regard to the fact that we're only going to get about $32 billion in.
Yeah, and building a budget around money you don't have is why, Pat Brady, I continue to come back to this statement, which I'm going to continue to hammer. He's not even trying now. His number one goal when Mike Madigan gets up in the morning and his number one goal is to try to make Governor Rauner look like a fool.
And Dan keep himself in power. This is all these votes, and Steve, you can speak to this. These votes this summer, all last summer, all last year, what were these all about that the Speaker had you guys taken?
Right. We took about 18 different votes on property tax freezes, and they were all run by the same representative. They were all identical, and the only purpose of those votes was to put us on the record, if you will. They are mailer votes, target votes, where they want to show, you know, whatever message that they want to communicate. They weren't real bills. They weren't designed to do anything but create a political firestorm, if you will. Totally inappropriate.
So a colossal waste of time and citizens' money and manpower hours there simply to create brochures and emails and things that would be indicative of votes that had no purpose whatsoever.
Absolutely right. And, you know, when you talk about a waste of time, look at this session. We're supposed to be in basically from January through May 31st. In the first 3 months of the year, we met exactly 10 days. We adjourned for practically all of March. That was time that we should have been spending in the Appropriations Committee, time we could have been valuably using to actually have dialogue. But the Speaker decided we weren't going to be in for March at all. To me, it's no way to run a government.
So who controls that process down there? Who in the House?
One man, the Speaker.
And what is the Speaker's side saying on or off the record? And I know mostly it's off the record to you guys. I mean, I would assume Democrats are stumbling into the hallways going, I don't know what he's doing either.
Well, I have a lot of good conversations with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. And notwithstanding, I think the Speaker's point of view, which of course I don't communicate with him directly, he doesn't come out to the House floor very often, but when I talk with the rank and file, and even not the rank and file, some of the mid-level Democrats, there is a spirit of desire to get to a solution here. I think there's a lot of pressure from below to get to a real solution. And we've seen examples of that now on at least three occasions with the higher ed funding bill, with the social services bill, and even, believe it or not, yesterday and the night before when they dropped that budget bill on us and they ignored completely the procedural safeguards for something as simple as verifying that the people who voted for it were actually in their chairs and actually voting for it. When they violated that, the next day there was a real spirit of outrage from both sides, from the rank and file. And what happened? The speaker came out and I think responded to that pressure appropriately and recalled the vote. So that we were able to have a more full and fair debate on it. And it actually changed the vote total. It went down. The support for the bill went down by about six votes.
Funny thing, when you're accountable, you might not vote the way.
Exactly. I'm telling you right now, and Steve, thank you for that. If people want to stay in touch with what you're doing out of your office, how do they do that?
They can call my office. They can contact me via email as well. The telephone number in my office in Springfield here is 217-782-5457, and they can always email me at steve@staterep65.com.
Thanks. We'll be in touch again. I appreciate it. The Speaker of the House is actively engaged in malpractice against the state of Illinois, because yesterday, when he puts a budget forth that has absolutely no shot of seeing the light of day, and then doesn't stand up for it and discuss why it happened. Here's a simple question, and you don't have to talk to me because I know you don't have the guts to come on this show, but come out somewhere. Talk to the media. Do one of your cowardly group press conferences and come out and address why you did this. Because what's the end game here? Why would you put a budget out that's $7.5 billion out of whack knowing it can't be passed?
And the most, or
can't be signed.
When you had the governor on a couple of days ago, I thought the most interesting point, which I think you've talked about, is he said that if I were dealing with the mayor, we'd have a deal. If I were dealing with President Cullerton, we'd have a deal.
There's one person blocking this. One. And his name's Mike Madigan. It's 7:19. Christina Radonia will join us in a moment for some continued perspective. And again, I'll say it the same way I've said it for 659 shows. Mike Madigan is welcome on this show anytime. We will cancel any guest to have him come on and answer fair questions by me about his behavior. Not Steve Brown, his spokesman, Mike Madigan. And again, we get nothing but crickets.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The money is not dispersed in an equal way.
We're from every corner of the state because our funding system in Illinois is broken, and we need a long-term fix now.
After a positive meeting that the Democrat leaders now share our sense of urgency of bringing this impasse to a close, and we are going to ramp up with our working groups.
Texters are angry. Is Springfield ever going to wake up? 312. In all seriousness, there's any way at all that as taxpayers we can get Madigan removed or impeached during his term? Texter from the 630. I don't understand the rules of it that keeps our Speaker of the House in office so long. Why are there not term limits? How is he allowed to behave this way? Texter from the 708. When are we as voters going to say enough is enough? Madigan, we complain, but we allow yo-yos to screw things up. When will we stop talking about it and actually do something about it? And from the 312, it's so nice to see Speaker Madigan on TV justifying his plans. Oh, wait, no, that's Kim Jong-un, who's more accessible than Mike Madigan. 726, the Republican leader of the Senate is Christine Radonia, who joins us now. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
I can't imagine the zoo you're in the middle of now, but where do we go from here? This ridiculous budget is put forth. What happens next?
Well, it's a non-budget. Let's be clear about that. It's the $7 billion over the revenue we have coming in with absolutely no thought as to how to pay for it. So we still have 5 days left, which is a long time in legislative time. I do think that the Democrat Speaker and Senate President are beginning to feel a bit of heat over the situation, but they've stonewalled us for the better part of the year in terms of making some reforms that would then lead to a balanced budget. So I think they are somewhat engaged right now, but whether or not they want to bring this thing in for a landing remains to be seen.
Well, it's constitutionally mandated we have to have a balanced budget. So how could you interpret, because we have to interpret what Madigan does, because he never has the guts to talk to anybody in the media, How could you interpret this as anything other as a continued attempt to put the onus on the governor and punish the governor and penalize the governor because it's a personal war and Madigan sees the governor as an enemy?
Well, he does. I think he sees him more more succinctly as a threat to his power. I mean, the speaker is very power-oriented. That's the bottom line. I don't find him particularly policy-oriented or interested in the long-term health of the state. So if he perceives that the governor would want to penalize the people that keep him in power in any way or hurt them, he's going to react. And that's what you're seeing now. He basically, the speaker, has given constituencies that give him money veto power over any good policy.
And all of this is just to stay on the job. But why do you have the job to begin with if your only purpose is to keep the job?
Well, you know, if that's the only thing you have going for you, I guess that's what you do. But remember, he has a lot of accomplices in this. And those accomplices are every single member of the Democratic House caucus that keeps him in power, and also the Senate Democrats who are refusing to cross him. I mean, they allow him to do what he wants to do. Now, we're hearing rumors today, maybe they'll you know, not pass this wildly unbalanced budget that he passed. But they're still roadblocking any reforms. They're afraid to cross the speaker.
Senator, the constituencies you mentioned, who are they? Are you referring to the public sector?
Public employee unions and the trial lawyers.
In the public employee unions right now, if I understand the way it works, they give the Democrats money and the Democrats give them what they want.
Exactly. And that's what the governor refers to as the most corrupt bargain, because they are basically funding the people that give them what they want, and taxpayers can't afford it and have no say in the ability to negotiate that.
And of all the things that the governor ran on, the 45 or 50 planks of his platform, how many has he basically conceded on? How many are we down to now? How many items of the reform agenda that are actually still on the table?
Well, I don't know the exact number, but you raise a very good point. The governor started with a pretty robust plan, and he has been more than willing to negotiate to the bare minimum that he thinks would begin to turn the state around. But he's not going to accept phony compromise. And, you know, something that looks like it progresses us, but it doesn't. That's not okay, because the people of this state are unwilling to pay more for the same lousy government that they've had.
You know, you're one of the nicest people I've ever known, and I can actually sense some anger in your voice today.
Yeah, it is really frustrating.
Well, it's got to be, because I'm telling you, the symbolic image of a state full of people coming down with buses and burning clubs, you know, the moat better be pretty good around the Capitol, because people have had it, and people are finally getting to a point where they're fed up. And for the Democrats not to have a sense of self-survival here and to say, who are we going to protect, Madigan or us? I don't know when they're going to wake up, if they haven't already.
Yeah, well, apparently not. But, hey, we've got 5 days.
Senator, now what happens? All right, you have 5 days. The Senate didn't take up the bill yesterday. Will you take it up today or next week? And if Governor Rauner vetoes this bill, does that mean that the schools won't get the funding that is at least in this bill to open on time in the fall?
Well, if this bill doesn't pass yet, then we have nothing in place to open the schools in the fall. And it is my understanding, although I don't think the Senate Dems are firm on this, they may not pass that bill. So then the question is, do they have an alternative? And is it an alternative that the governor will sign, knowing again full well, as we've told him all year, that it must include reforms?
Christine Redonio, the Republican Senate leader, and how do people stay in touch with you? Website best?
Yep, that'd be good.
All right, thank you, and please keep pushing. Chris Redonio, R-A-D-A-G-N-O. Really, I'm trying. There's no other way to say this other than Speaker Madigan is engaged in full malpractice of his job. And frankly, I would like him medically tested. I would like him medically tested for his mental health to do this, because $7.5 billion is $4.5 billion more than the last budget he put up that was out of whack. And if you think there's not some ulterior motive here or some other agenda, I don't know what you're looking at.
Well, there was one state senator that said that they will never give Governor Rauner a budget.
Okay, are these the people you want elected?
Yeah, well, I mean, when the Republicans did that in the U.S. Congress, when Mitch McConnell said that, people went crazy when he said that they wanted to make Obama a one-term president. But they're doing the same thing here.
Yeah, and I think you've heard of me rail on the Republicans and the fools that they've been in regards to the Supreme Court nomination and everything else they've done. This is not a partisan thing. This is a, when are you going to care enough about your own state to demand that these people do their jobs?
And people are getting hurt, and the constituencies of the African-Americans, they're the ones that seem to bear the brunt of all this with the schools and the lack of social services. So I would think that caucus would really want something done.
And if you're a member of a public service union, or you work for a trial lawyer, or you've benefited from a trial lawyer, let me ask you a question. At what point are you going to say, well, how come Mike Madigan can't even come out and answer questions about this? You're a lawyer. You have to defend stuff all the time. Why isn't he even willing to defend his actions?
He's an elected official. He has an absolute right to the voters of the state of Illinois to come out and explain this budget, which we're paying for.
You got a better chance now of finding Jimmy Hoffa's body than finding Mike Madigan and asking him questions.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Before we continue with a new feature called Cavalcade of Knuckleheads, and that's all about Springfield, let's go outside as we continue to set up for this morning's Walk of Fame ceremonies. I will emcee it at 10 o'clock in the first hour of the Bill and Wendy Show, along with Steve Bertrand. John DeCoste is on the red carpet. John, what are you seeing?
Hi, Steve.
Hi, John.
Yeah, hey, are you... Pioneer Court is right next to the studio. How cool is that?
It's very convenient. Who do you have with you?
Oh, sorry. Dean just got pulled away. This never's going to work. Hey, there's pizza out here.
All right. Again, you've been listening to an exclusive report live from the red carpet. Hey,
wow.
There's pizza out here, and the celebrities he had pulled away. From your vantage point,
yes.
What can you see?
What I can see is that people are starting to arrive on Pioneer Court. Steve, Dean Richards is already out there with our good friend Anna Balaval, Tyra Martin from Channel 9 out there as well.
And I thought, John, he really got some in-depth information from both Anna and Dean.
I think so, too. And what was interesting to watch is when John said, okay, we're on, and he started to talk to Dean.
Turned away.
Yeah, I think Dean talk to the hand,
and again,
don't have time for you kind of thing.
And again, John's entire report was, oh, they just turned away. I can't talk to him. Hey, there's pizza out here.
Lou Malnati's out there, yeah. So a lot of people starting to show up, Steve. Looks like a big crowd.
We'll broadcast it live at 10. Hopefully a lot of you will be here, and please feel free to say hi. Looking forward to seeing you. At 7:43, my friend Pat Brady's here. Pat, the former Republican leader in the state of Illinois. Couldn't be more proud of his party, nationally and locally.
Yeah, it's not been a great time.
So,
Libertarians having their meeting this weekend, so maybe we'll get a candidate out of that.
Yeah, and their convention's this weekend, right?
Yeah, Bill Weld, the former Massachusetts governor, pretty impressive guy. Maybe he'll come out of this.
And is he likely to beat Gary Johnson?
I don't know. I don't know what the mechanics are. I don't even know what their process is. But he'd be a legitimate candidate.
And they're on the ballot in all 50 states.
Yeah, and that's the last chance.
All right, back to the budget here. Get me off this train and tell me why I should get off this train of what's Madigan up to. What's the point? What's the point of putting up a budget that's $7.5 billion out of whack?
I think Senator Redonio said it best, and I think we've talked about it. It's all about maintenance of power. None of this is good policy. I mean, the policies, people know what the good policies are. We need work comp reform. We need the things the governor talked about. We need some property tax relief. We need to break the stranglehold of the public sector unions over the Democrats. We need term limits. We need redistricting reform. These aren't real difficult concepts, but on the Democrat side from him, it's more just about getting reelected than it is good public policy. And I think the governor, when he ran, said, I'm not worried about the next election. I'm worried about the next generation. And he's standing firm. I know he's catching a lot of grief, but I give him credit for doing what he said he was going to do.
Madigan, and I'm not even joking when I say this, I think there might be something wrong with him, because I don't know how you go to work as the leader of the Democratic Party, officially and unofficially in the state of Illinois, and do absolutely nothing for the people of Illinois, which is what this is, and then not answer to it.
For 40 years.
But it's never been worse. It's never been worse than it is right now in regards to his behavior and his lack of accountability for the behavior.
Well, the chickens have kind of come home to roost because some of the mistakes they made in the mid-2000s on not funding the pensions, some of the gimmicks they did with the cost of living increases in the pensions and the pension ramp up, which Republicans were complicit in some of, too. I agree it is absolutely the worst I've ever seen it, but that took, you know, 20, 30 years to get here. And then the Blagojevich mess.
But if you were a business, why in God's name would you move to Illinois right now?
You won't.
If you were a family of four considering moving here for a job, knowing that the schools might not be funded, why would you come here?
And you won't. And that's the governor's whole point. We want to have more taxpayers, not more taxes. And you can't get more taxpayers if businesses are leaving and people are leaving.
The best business right now would be an Uber to move people to any of the states surrounding Illinois because people are leaving.
That's true. That's true.
But the sad thing is, from my view, this is the greatest state in the union.
Well,
it's the greatest city
in
the country, and we're messing it up.
But we're allowing one politician to continue this mess, to not even have the most fundamental process of any government, a budget.
Agree, but you know what? People have to fight back. And by fight back, I mean you need to make phone calls down to the Democrats in the House and to the Speaker and say, we don't like this. It does have an effect.
But when you have someone who doesn't listen, kind of to Steve's point, he's basically lost the public trust. I guess at this point, aside from voting in the election, of course, can anything be done? Has he done anything impeachable or able to have him removed from this position?
Can you impeach the Speaker of the House?
I do not know. I don't think so. It's a vote they all take in the very beginning of the session, and he's a Speaker of the House for the session. I'm not sure what can be done.
Well, then I would advise you, whoever your rep is, Republican or Democrat around the state, to just send them a letter, a note, an email, or a phone call to say, if you support Mike Madigan, or possibly even if Mike Madigan stays in power, I will not vote for you.
And Steve,
threaten people's jobs the way they take advantage of you to keep their jobs.
And process is boring, I know, but if you were down there watching it like I was and you just see this bomb gets dropped an hour before they vote on it, a 500-page
document.
Yeah,
people need to understand that. He puts the budget out, 500 pages. Yeah. You have 1 hour before he calls the vote because he decides when the vote's going to take place.
And that thing's been sitting in his closet since last June. I mean,
he didn't do it yesterday.
Yeah, and it's not and another thing, and again, it's probably boring because it's process, but he does, over the years, has accumulated so much power in the rulemaking, how the rules of the game are down there. He literally controls all of it, who gets on the committees, what bills get called. I mean, that's the power of the speaker, but I got to believe we have the most powerful speaker in the country just the way the rules are set up. So those need to be changed, too.
Yeah, and maybe the most corrupt, because this is corruption. This is absolute, whether it's legal or illegal, this is corruption of the duties that he's been empowered to have for the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I don't understand. I never have understood what the end game is then, if it's just because there's nothing good that comes out of this.
Well, that's the other piece of this, right? Because if this is all about maintaining power and keeping your people reelected, he's got plenty of propaganda. He's got stuff from the last year without a budget that he could print and newspaper headlines that he could cite. He doesn't need any more propaganda. So what is the point now?
I don't get it. I never have understood it. But the one thing we can do, we have the term limits amendment. Hopefully we can get done and redistricting so this doesn't happen again. But it makes no sense where we are now. But it's
And for anybody who's going, well, why can't the governor just give in? Well, tell me what that's going to solve. If the governor were to give up on everything and just sign off on what Madigan wanted at this point?
Well, everybody gets hit with a $1,000 per average family tax increase.
Immediately.
And we're going to have no structural reforms of a system that's bloated and inefficient. And that's what the governor has ran on.
Leslie,
so he cannot give in.
We saw thousands of parents here, parents who left their jobs to come here and be part of this because they care about their communities, they care about their schools, and they care about their kids. And that's what the governor needs to hear.
Forrest Claypool yesterday talking about school funding. And another texter who said he's a dad of two beautiful daughters who work with kids with autism, like my daughter Amy does. And those two are independent vendors who aren't getting paid by the state. I mean, you know, the worst case scenarios where the most fragile people in the state who need the most support are not funded because Speaker Madigan won't do his job. Leslie Munger, state comptroller. All right, so let's go to the worst case scenario here, Leslie. What type of damage are we talking about?
Oh, well, Well, good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning, Steve. Good morning, Pat. We are limping along now without a budget, trying to keep things paid. We have a number of groups, as you just mentioned, that are not covered by any of the court orders we can't pay, including mental health facilities, services for sexual assault victims. Our universities and colleges have only received a small portion of what they're owed. And if we enter the new fiscal year without a budget and are continue to be unable to make those payments, I think this is where we are really going to have the most catastrophic effects. I think there will be organizations will just say, we can't keep doing this, close their doors. I think we risk some of our universities and our colleges opening that rely on state funding. And so it's just nothing is more important than getting a budget in place that's balanced. And I think that's why this is so concerning. You know, here we are 5 days left of the session when we need to be working on passing a budget that's balanced. And instead, what we have is a budget passed with 500-page budget with just a couple few hours to look at it, passed on a strict party line vote. That spends $7 billion more money than we have. It doesn't address any of the issues that we have facing our state financially.
Leslie, at this point, when we're literally teetering on the brink, is it better to pass this out-of-whack, crappy budget that Madigan just pushed through the House or pass no budget at all and start from ground zero?
Well, this budget that was just passed actually would just be catastrophic. I've really been saying all year that we have to get a budget in place. I think really the only thing that's worse than not having a budget is having a budget that essentially doubles the level of debt that we have.
You can't pay for it.
You can't. And we have about $7 billion in unpaid bills in the state right now. This budget would add another $7 billion to it. We expect to end our fiscal year with somewhere between $10 and $12 billion of unpaid bills. So adding another $7 to that, it doesn't help to promise funding to anyone when there's no money to write the check. The practical effect of doing this is the people and organizations throughout the state who expect funding from the state will, instead of waiting for 3 to 4 months to be paid, will be waiting for 8 to 9 months to be paid.
Yeah, and give them a visual, Leslie, because Leslie Munger, State Comptroller, you're very good at painting this picture for us when you said those in the state legislature that want to get paid are going to go to the back of the line or an appropriate place in line. I mean, that's a visual for us that I think works. It's a line of people who are owed money, and we're going to have people who, again, like the listener with the two daughters, who have daughters who work with autistic kids, they'd be in the back of the line. I mean, all these small vendors who are doing great things can't do those things anymore.
That's right. And the concern is, and I've traveled all over the state, I've talked to so many of the leaders of these organizations. They spent years building up these businesses and organizations to serve people in need. When they shut down, we lose the people. They go to other jobs. They go to other states that will actually pay them. And so to try and recreate the social safety network that helps people in need, that actually that does it at a fraction of the cost it would cost us to provide those same services in our state, if the state did it directly, it really will cost us more money in the long run. We have to help these organizations. And, the thing that's so frustrating for me is this just seems like some people think it's a game in Springfield. And it's like a game of chicken. And who is going to give in first? And I think everyone needs to understand this is not a game. This should not be an us versus them situation. The budget should not be a partisan issue. It's the responsibility of the legislature and the governor to work together to pass a balanced budget. And the way things are going, no one wins this game. We are all in this together, and we are going to have to pay for this. There's a group here that actually is called Truth in Accounting. They look at debt and assets for states on a national basis. And they just sent out their report. And Illinois, if we accounted for things like a normal business would have to account for them, we currently have over $200 billion in debt, and we have $26 billion in assets. And you don't need to be a mathematician to know.
Just insane.
You're bankrupt.
Hey, Leslie, can we pull a Trump and go bankrupt?
I wish we could, but as a state, we can't go bankrupt. A municipality can declare bankruptcy. The federal government can print money
So we're on the hook no matter what. Things. There's no way to discharge
it. We have to pay for this.
And we have to pay for this mean the people that are driving to work right now have to pay for this. The people who are at home now have to pay for this. This is not, there's not some magic money tree in Springfield. This is all coming out of your wallets and purses.
We, the taxpayers of the state of Illinois, have to pay for this. And it's getting to be a really big bill, and people understand that, and that's why they're voting with their feet. They're moving out of state because they know the bill's going to come. And so to pass a budget that essentially doubles down on what has been done before and doubles the debt that we have is really, it's just irresponsible. It's reckless. You know, when you're in a hole, the best thing you can do is stop digging. And we need to put in place some responsible actions that will get us out of this. I think it's going to include, I've said this before, it's going to include some cuts in the way we, in the state, things in more the operational budgets to make our state operate more efficiently and leaner. It should include, I think it will have to include some tax increases. But we keep hearing that we can only deal with this on taxes. And I think those who say that ought to sit down with a pencil and paper and figure out what the gap is, because if we only raise taxes, we cannot raise taxes enough right now to get out of the mess that has been built in the state. We have to get our economy growing, and that is going to require at least some of the things the governor's asked for that will help make our businesses more competitive. And there are things that I think we can find common ground on, and I know there are people, some of the legislators in Springfield who've been working on that. So it's really disappointing.
Well, it appears, in my words, not yours, Leslie, it appears everybody's working on that, except for one man, and that man, again, is Mike Madigan. It's State Comptroller Leslie Munger. Thank you again for that, and try to keep the Tums handy. You'll need them.
Thanks so much for having me on. Great to talk to you, and just hope we got five more days. Maybe then get something done.
Thanks. And by the way, it's completely outrageous that this is coming down to the wire as well.
It's absurd.
But if anyone in their right mind can explain to me how the speaker could put a budget forth with $7.5 billion being the number that it's out of whack, and you tell me he's serious about solving the problems, there's nothing serious about that.